Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green at SaverLife.com. And a lovely fall morning. It is just beautiful. The sun is giving way to some clouds, but again, a balmy morning. And today might be the day to plant that garlic for harvest next July. I was checking out Fruition Seeds website, and they still have some German white garlic available. That's a hardneck garlic and easy to plant. It only has to go down maybe 4 inches. You separate each individual clove off the bulb, plant them in their own 4-inch hole, and you can plant a lot of garlic in a small space. I have a neighbor who has done this almost really an extreme way. It must be a space that's maybe 5 feet, well, let's say 6 feet by 6 feet. That's less than that, though. It's maybe 5 feet by 6 feet, so 30 square feet. And the last 2 years, they've raised about 120 bulbs of garlic in that 5 by 6 space. Now, this space gets quite a bit of sun, and they use a lot of compost. As again, you're packing in the plants. They need a lot of nutrients to grow, and so if you're going to do that, you've got to really work in the compost. I'm not sure they do much fertilizing. I think it's mainly compost that they use to grow these. Again, well over 100. I think about 120 bulbs of garlic. In a very, very small space. So in that case, you're planting them just barely far enough apart. They might be 5 inches apart, somewhere in that range. And the green foliage will come up this fall, perhaps early winter. It doesn't care about the cold. And it'll continue to grow next year. You'll get a flower head that'll come up, and it'll be all curled when it starts, and then you cut that off so that you don't have the plant waste its energy on flowering, and you get a bigger bulb when you harvest it in July. So yeah, you could just take whatever garlic you happen to have in your kitchen and plant a few of those cloves just to see what happens, kind of as an experiment. But if you want some really good organic garlic, Fruition Seeds they've sold out of a bunch of other varieties. There are hundreds of varieties of garlic. There's a garlic seed foundation, which helps to preserve these, catalog these, and there are hundreds of kinds of garlic. Earlier in the season, Fruition Seeds had chesnock, there was a red resin, Rezan, R-E-Z-A-N. They had a Regatuso garlic, which was a soft neck, Italy Hill Giant Ivory. So they had a bunch of others that are no longer available now, but they still have the German one, and you should get some of that. The hardneck garlic is the one that, like you might guess, has a neck that is very rigid, and you can't really braid that. It's the soft neck varieties that people braid, and you get a gorgeous set of garlic bulbs with the tops all braided. Really beautiful. I had usually at the Fox Run Vineyards Garlic Festival each summer in August, they have some demonstrations of garlic braiding and how to plant garlic. But Fruition Seeds has a ebook, and it's how to grow gorgeous garlic and shallots, and you can download that. I think it's free right now. They do have some Dutch red shallots, too, still available. So those are mail order. They don't have retail hours. They're in Naples, but they don't have retail hours. So go online and fruitionseeds.com. You can order some garlic. And there's no rush. this Columbus Day weekend is kind of a garlic planting weekend. It's but you can plant it in November. You can plant it in December if you can dig in the ground. It's just the roots won't get quite as established as early. The ending resulting bulbs next summer won't be as big if you wait until December. But yeah, anytime in the next month is prime season. And as I've said before on the show, I have fond memories of when I was part of the Peaceworks CSA, which is community supported agriculture. They're out in Phelps in Newark. I went out to help plant garlic, and I think it was early November, and there were snow flurries, and we are setting the garlic bulbs, the cloves, not the bulbs, but again, you break off individual cloves and plant them, and some of the smallest cloves on that bulb will probably give you smaller bulbs next year. So, you know, if you have lots of garlic, maybe you use just the biggest ones, or maybe you want to experiment and just use the smallest ones that are kind of too small to cook with. They're a pain to shell them out of the skin, and so you very well just plant these little tiny ones. They'll do fine. They'll give you plenty of garlic next year. And again, these bulbs, they might have anywhere from 6 to 12 cloves on a bulb. And so again, one bulb, you can potentially go and grow a 10 or a dozen bulbs for next year. And that you can obviously buy garlic in the store. You can buy it at the farmer's market. Generally, when you go to the grocery store, you will find garlic with the kind of the roots ground out of them. And so they'll have a very smooth bottom of the bulb. And those are probably bulbs from China. A lot of the garlic that comes here to the grocery stores, you know, large quantity bulk garlic is from China. So if you go to the farmer's market, look around for garlic, and you'll notice that the roots are still there, kind of. And you know, I think China has to grind the roots off just so that soil pathogens and things can't be sent into this country. But it is a way to distinguish where that garlic is coming from. It might come from California. I'm not sure if they grind theirs down, but from what I understand, a lot of the grocery store garlic is from China. And it can be hard to find locally sometimes. So you know, if you want some suggestions, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com, and try and give you some ideas of where to find local garlic. I know a couple of growers here in our area that they sell mainly to other growers around the country. And so they grow a lot of garlic, but it's more for wholesale use rather than retail. And there are a lot of garlic farmers here in our area in this region. So there is some available. And this time of the year, it is roasted garlic is fabulous. We'll talk a little bit about it on the food show. But there's some great ways to cook with it where it's not so spicy. I have fond memories also of going to Fox Run Vineyards and participating in a garlic wine pairing demonstration. And one of the things we had to try to pair with wine was raw garlic. And that was intense. I'm not sure I'd try to repeat that experience. Some people like raw garlic. I'm not one of them. But it's great to have in your garden. It has no pests. It's really easy to grow. Speaking of pests, I ran into the same pest that's been attacking the black-eyed Susans in a couple of different properties. And Black Eyed Susan was one thing that I thought was just impervious to insects and diseases. These Black Eyed Susans just seemed to grow like weeds, and but this caterpillar gets into the stem, and it ends up breaking the stem. So this year, it seems like it it's a little bit later, maybe, for one thing. So last year, it seemed to attack earlier, and it was really noticeable that suddenly the stalks to the black-eyed Susans went from green to just black. The whole stalk just died off, and then they break. They kind of fall over, which is often what happens during the winter. The snow breaks them down, but this was happening last year, and must have been late September or something like that, and it was just strange. And it really puzzled me. It was a bizarre kind of thing. This weevil bug, caterpillar gets into the stem about an inch high off the ground. You can't really see that because of all the leaves of the black-eyed Susans. But if you find that they're essentially cut off, this is probably what's doing it. And it's the strangest thing. I remember looking it up last year, and they were... some other states were using these caterpillars, weevils, whatever it was that gets in there to fish with or something. These seem to be very small ones, so I'm not sure you're going to go fishing anytime with these. But 30, 40 stems of black-eyed Susans just tipped over where they had eaten the stem. And they go inside. It seems like maybe it's an egg that's laid on the stem of the black-eyed Susan. The larvae goes in and eats the interior of the stem. And it's almost like a rabbit cut it off. So if you see some black-eyed Susans that are tipped over or just dying early, check this out. There's not really any way to physically get rid of them. I haven't seen the live insect. It may have emerged in long ago, and we're only now just noticing the damage it did. It's a strange thing. I thought these were just impervious to problems. So this year it seemed to attack later, and so it wasn't as noticeable because they're sort of fading anyway right now, and it's sort of the end of the season. Last year it seemed more like almost mid-season where I started to see this kind of damage. So, the battle between the insects and people is kind of fascinating. Definitely frustrating if you have a lot of black-eyed Susan in this case. But it's also an area you need to learn a little bit more about, because if you went out there and tried to treat this insect right now, like you find the damage that it's done, so you go out and treat it with something. I'm not sure how to decide what to treat it with, but people do that. They get a broad spectrum insecticide and just go and spray down that area. It's likely that in many of these cases the insect is gone, and you're treating the damage that they left, which isn't going to kill any of the bad insects, and it's probably killing some of the good insects that are in the soil or on the plants. So you got to really identify, not only identify, but also learn a little bit of the life cycle of these pests before you do much treating. So if you have a mystery thing going on with some of your plants, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. Maybe I can help figure it out. And you know, it's, I think it's kind of interesting research. And they are, you definitely will get more respect for the insect world when you learn more about their life cycles and how adaptive they are. More scouting this past week for the spotted lanternfly, speaking of insects, and I have not found any, luckily. But read about it from Pennsylvania, because it's going to be coming this way at some point. And we need to be aware. We need to try to spot them as early as we can and tap down the infestations of them before damage to vines, grapevines, hops, orchards, and lots of trees, which that damage is going on now in Pennsylvania. We want to keep it out of New York as long as possible until some treatments are found. And Cornell is doing some research on some bacterium that can kill this spotted lanternfly. And it's a naturally occurring bacterium that's already here. It's already apparently in some vineyards. That's where they found the dead lanternflies. And I think that's what led them to figuring out what had killed them was these two bacterium. So that's, with a lot of invasive species, that's the idea. You want to put off their arrival and getting established as long as possible. And if you are out in your garden, I mentioned last week an article in the New York Times about leaving a messier garden, a messier yard, is a good thing for a lot of the insects and butterflies and a lot of beneficial insects. So go back and read that article in the New York Times. There's also been a lot of articles like that over the last few years in particular. And you do have to rake the leaves off your lawn, but rake them into your garden rather than raking them down to the street to be taken away. There's a funny sort of meme that's been going around for a long time, but this time of the year it's even more appropriate, and it's God talking to St. Francis Assisi, and St. Francis is trying to describe how people maintain their yards, you know, that they rake the leaves, and you know, which were intended as, you know, in the woods they provide a blanket, and then we rake them away, and then we cut down trees and chip them into mulch and apply that mulch. We do a lot of things which, you know, Mother Nature kind of does for us if we allow her to do that, and those leaves act as a mulch. They help to limit weeds. They help to retain moisture. They add nutrients to the soil and help with erosion. Many, many great reasons to have those leaves on your in your garden. And instead of cutting back all your perennials, consider leaving many of them. I was cutting back some phlox just yesterday, which had a lot of powdery mildew on the leaves. So it's a good time to cut that back and remove it, because you're taking the powdery mildew spores that are on those leaves and getting them away from the plants for next year, so they won't splash up onto the new leaves and infect it earlier in the season next year. So there are a few plants like phlox and peonies where it's important to cut back the foliage. But most plants, you can leave them. And they will, I think as I said last week, they catch the leaves blowing by. So they, you know, if you have everything cut down to the ground, the leaves just blow over and go to your neighbor's yard, which some people, you know, that's the goal. They don't want those leaves. But if you have some perennials and some of those seed heads are food for the birds. Those perennials will kind of trap the leaves that are going by and add to your mulch cover, the blanket that the ground will have for winter. And it does help the roots of the plants. You know, the roots are not happy with the ground freezing and thawing multiple times, many times over the winter, and they would prefer to have a quieter winter under a blanket of leaves where it insulates them, and there isn't the heaving of the ground that happens when it freezes and thaws a lot. So there are a lot of purposes to have those leaves there. I have some neighbors that bag them, and I know they don't have dogs, so there's no dog excrement in with these leaves. Sometimes I'll pick up their bagged leaves and put them in our backyard. Especially helps, you know, to keep some of those bags of leaves on hand during the winter when we get a thaw and it gets really muddy. We have a dog that runs around in the backyard, and so those leaves help to avoid bringing mud inside during those thaws in the winter. So some people, you know, if you have a neighbor who, you know, uses a tarp or something to take them out to the street, just have them contact you when the tarp is ready, and you can bring it over to your yard and have even more leaves. And the winter snow and rain will get them started composting and compact them, basically. And the plants have an easy time coming up through them anyway. So you don't have to worry about hurting the perennials and things by having too many leaves. It's unlikely you could do that. I mean, there certainly is a point where, you know, if you have 12 feet of leaves and that compacts down to, you know, maybe 1 foot of thick leaves, plants will have trouble getting through that, and so will water. But who's going to do that? No one's going to have 12 feet of leaves that they're trying to compact on their yard, in their garden. Get out and enjoy the fall color, and maybe get some ideas on plants you'd like to add to your yard for fall color. I've got to get over to Genesee Valley Park and see the tupelo trees. Not sure what stage they are at color, but they're one of the most colorful trees. And they're around the Polo Grounds, which is the sort of southern section of Genesee Valley Park on the south side of 390. And an area of the Genesee Valley Park that a lot of people don't get to. There's some large trees around the big open green where you can, I guess, kind of imagine them playing polo. Not sure they actually did play polo there, but they probably did at some point. A lot of horses in the Genesee Valley. And these tupelo trees have a glossy leaf. So that's one of the reasons that they're so pretty in the fall. Not only are the colors vibrant, really rich oranges and reds and burgundies, but the leaves are glossy, and they are one of the showiest trees. There's a couple of them in Highland Park right next to the conservatory, literally next to the conservatory. Between the tulip beds and the conservatory are a couple of tupelo trees. You know, go visit some of the garden centers that have display gardens like Palmiter's and Sarah's Garden Center and see what the fall color is like on some of their plants. And perhaps, you know, add some gardens, some perennials, some shrubs or trees. Get rid of some of your lawn. Right now is the ideal time to plant. We've got the soil moisture now after sort of a fall drought in September, and those roots will get established. It is the ideal time to plant right now. Roots will get established, and as I've said probably each week here, you'll have a bigger plant next year that has much lower maintenance needs because those roots will get established. So add a few perennials, expand a bed, add some bulbs while you're at it. You know, you can plant them in virtually the same space. Get the daffodils and tulips in the ground. Then maybe plant some of the smaller bulbs, which are earlier blooming. And you really don't have to wait long for things like snowdrops. They're often blooming in January and February. Winter aconite, Scilla siberica, anemone blanda. These are early blooming bulbs, generally in bloom by March. And so you don't have long to wait for those to bloom. And then add some perennials around them. You can put in half a dozen perennials, 50 or 100 bulbs of various kinds, and you're going to have a great show next year in that garden. I'm really appreciating the Japanese anemones right now. These are pink or white, some with many petals, some with only a few. But they get up fairly tall, a couple feet high, 2 or 3 feet high, and really gorgeous late-season flowers. And my toad lilies blooming. I mentioned last week it just started to bloom. Basically, as October arrives, the toad lily blooms. And the long-term forecast for this week is pretty good in terms of frost. There's, I think, next Saturday, 37 is the low in Rochester. More likely have a frost outside of Rochester, Avon and Perry. But, we get through that cold night. We might not get a hard killing frost for another month. So keep an eye on the forecast a week from now and maybe cover some plants. But otherwise, we're in pretty good shape for kind of a normal temperatures this fall and not any early killing frosts, just minor ones a few weeks ago. So if you have questions on planting bulbs or dividing things right now, it's a great time to divide and move perennials. Send me an email, michael@saverlife.com, and get a dozen daffodils and maybe a little bag of winter aconite or snowdrops, and just put a few of those in the ground. With the daffodils, I would dig a couple of holes with a shovel and put in 6 bulbs in each of them, and you'll have a nice group of daffodils that come up in the spring, rather than digging a dozen separate holes, which is a real pain. And it's kind of hard to dig one hole deep enough per bulb. Usually people end up, it's only half as deep as it should be, which daffodils probably aren't going to mind. But the tulips, it'll make those easy pickings for the squirrels. They'll dig them right back up. And thank you for the nice meal. Daffodils are toxic to animals, so they don't bother them. That's a good reason to plant more daffodils than tulips. But go and get some in the ground. If you haven't planted them in a while, or maybe do it for a friend or neighbor. They'll have a surprise come spring. And, you may have, forgotten about it by then. And suddenly there's a dozen daffodils blooming in your front yard or your neighbor's yard or a family member's. It will be fun to look forward to. So now is the ideal time to put those bulbs in the ground, not just the garlic that I mentioned earlier, but any of the other bulbs. And look for some unusual ones. Try a few that you've never heard of, that you don't know anything about, and just experiment with how they do in one or another parts of your yard. It's a cheap experiment. The bulbs are, you'll spend a few dollars for half a dozen, probably even the small ones. You might get a dozen in a little bag of winter aconites. So try some you've never tried. Let me know what you're trying. If you've got some that you discover really interesting bulbs you've never seen before, send me a photo, michael@saverlife.com. Well, we'll be back this morning with For the Love of Food and Discover the Finger Lakes tomorrow, the Grapevine at 9 a.m. Enjoy this beautiful weather. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here at saverlife.com.